U.S. intelligence officials are concerned that the Islamic State could attack crowds of people trying to flee Afghanistan as they gather outside the international airport in Kabul. Here's National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on CNN yesterday.
It is something that we are placing paramount priority on stopping or disrupting, and we will do everything that we can for as long as we are on the ground to keep that from happening. But we are taking it absolutely deadly seriously.
For 20 years after the 9/11 attacks, U.S. troops in Afghanistan helped keep terrorist groups like al-Qaeda in check. So now what? Charles Lister is director of the Countering Terrorism and Extremism Program at the Middle East Institute. Charles, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You wrote recently that the Taliban takeover of Kabul was the most significant day for al-Qaeda since 9/11. Why do you say that?
Well, I think putting aside, the war in Afghanistan and the strategy and the mission creep and everything else that has, been discussed, in terms of countering terrorism, presence in Afghanistan, in the air over Afghanistan and the wider region has afforded us the ability to exert an enormous amount of pressure on al-Qaeda's senior leadership over the last 20 years. And the implications and the consequences of that have been clear. Of course, we killed bin Laden years ago, but now the current leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, has literally not been seen or heard of for almost a year. The senior leadership has been very effectively cut off from its affiliates all around the world, to the extent to which many of them aren't following its instructions anymore. And that's of real significance. And of course, looking back at 9/11, that is a kind of an accomplishment that we should all be proud of. But contrary to what President Biden said in his most recent speech, al-Qaeda is not gone from Afghanistan. It is most certainly still there, at least in several hundred operatives and senior leaders. So the mission in that sense is far from finished. And by taking our hand off of al-Qaeda's neck, so to speak, and gifting Afghanistan to the Taliban, we are quite literally giving it back the very safe haven that allowed it to build and thrive and operate and coordinate pre-9/11.
Do you believe that the Taliban will do anything to keep those remaining al-Qaeda members in check?
Well, listen, the relationship between the Taliban and al-Qaeda has always been very complicated. I mean, at the very top, al-Qaeda owes an oath of allegiance to the Taliban. That is never going to disappear. That is a religiously binding, irreversible oath of allegiance. That's never going to go away anywhere, notwithstanding anything that someone from the State Department might have been telling us over the last several years. Now, below that, a rung below that, on the operational level, the Taliban's a very complicated movement. Parts of the Taliban are very close to al-Qaeda, and parts of the Taliban are quite distinctly not. But al-Qaeda for itself has retained the relationships with those certain allies within the Taliban all throughout the past 20 years and will undoubtedly exploit them now that Afghanistan has fallen into the Taliban hands. So it's not a matter of what one Taliban official might be saying in public. It's much more complicated than that. The Taliban isn't an organization. It is essentially an alliance of warlords and faction leaders, some of which are very close to al-Qaeda, and that is what al-Qaeda will be relying upon now.
What's the time frame you're looking at here in terms of risk that al-Qaeda would be resurgent enough that they could strike the West in a significant way again?
Well, that question is almost impossible to answer. I mean, in theory, al-Qaeda could have the potential with, two or three operatives to do that tomorrow. They could have done that 6 months ago. I think the reality or the more specific answer to the question is how much higher is the risk of that? I would say it is far more significant. Al-Qaeda will look to receive foreign fighters. In fact, there are already reports just in the last couple of weeks of foreign fighters beginning to arrive in Afghanistan. And most of them will not be joining ISIS, which does have a small presence in Afghanistan. They will be joining al-Qaeda, whose deepest roots are in Afghanistan itself. So the more fighters it has at its command, the more resources it's able to extract, the more it's able to exploit a relationship or a revitalized operational relationship with the Taliban, the more risk that we face.
Let's hear what President Biden has to say about some of this. He has said since the fall of Kabul that the terrorist threat has metastasized well beyond Afghanistan, and that's why it's time to end this war. Here's the president speaking Friday at the White House.
The bottom line is we have to do, we're dealing with those terrorist threats from other parts of the world and failed states without permanent military, without permanent military presence there. We have to do the same in Afghanistan.
What do you think about that? Does the United States have to be in country with boots on the ground at that level to successfully stop al-Qaeda from coming back?
Well, there's a few different levels upon which to answer that question. The first, and I think the most significant, is that, yes, the United States is combating terrorism elsewhere in the world without a permanent boots-on-the-ground presence. But it's not doing that in a country that is controlled by a terrorist organization, the Taliban. It's not doing that. It is doing that in places where there is a legitimate government with a legitimate armed force that allows us air and ground access from time to time to conduct counterterrorism operations. The Taliban and Afghanistan is a totally different challenge for us. And that's my main concern. More importantly, or equally importantly at least, is the fact that we're going to now be doing this so-called over the horizon, as President Biden has said. But that's kind of pulling the wool over the American people's eyes. We do not have air access rights. We have not managed to negotiate a single air access arrangement with any of Afghanistan's neighbors. And we've also had to, as a result of this very hasty withdrawal, dissolve essentially our entire intelligence network all across Afghanistan. So in theory, yes, we are going to continue to counter al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, but we will be doing it effectively blind. And that is very different to the way that we have been countering terrorism elsewhere in the world.
Is it optimistic or realistic to think that the U.S. might have some sort of relationship with the Taliban, whether it's diplomatic or otherwise, in order to get intelligence about al-Qaeda?
The Taliban is not going to be a publicly facing U.S. ally in the fight against terrorism. There is, in theory, the possibility that our intelligence community has managed to establish relationships, covert, secret relationships with certain Taliban figures who may, for one reason or another, be willing to provide us intelligence in secret about al-Qaeda. But the Taliban as a movement will never, ever turn to being a U.S. ally in the fight against terrorism. That would go against everything they have ever stood for, and it would be to betray, as I say, a religiously binding, irreversible relationship that they have had with al-Qaeda for decades now.
Considering everything you've been telling me, do you think the United States military should have remained in Afghanistan?
On balance, I think it was time for the United States to look towards the exit in Afghanistan. But this clearly wasn't the way to proceed. The Trump administration set all of this up. It was a dreadful one-sided deal. It was a deal that demoralized and undermined our ally, the government in Kabul, and set and created conditions in which the kind of chaos we've seen unfold was essentially inevitable. I think there was a much slower, more conditions-based or conditional withdrawal that we could potentially have looked to do, but that would have necessitated a deal between the Taliban and the government in Kabul. That would have necessitated us to establish some kind of fallback, longer-lasting, covert ability to counter terrorism from within Afghanistan rather than what we've done, which is to dissolve it all entirely. But it's largely about the conditions. The idea that we were just quitting for quitting's sake is what paved a path to the chaos that we have seen unfold. And President Biden has made it pretty clear he was willing to see that chaos. That chaos was factored in. It was costed into the equation, as he said in one of his recent speeches. And to be honest, from an administration that prided itself from the very get-go as being human rights-centered in terms of its foreign policy, I find that factoring in of this chaos somewhat hard to swallow.
Charles Lister with the Middle East Institute, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.